Let's read together the end of Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 28 of the chapter, and read to the end. And what we'll consider is verses 38 through 44. So I won't reread it because it's a little bit longer and it's what we'll conclude with. Let's start at verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love His neighbor as Himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any questions. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, "How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord, and whence is he then his son?" And the common people heard him gladly. Now begins the words of our text. And he said unto them in his doctrine, "Beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation." And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." So far we read the Holy Scriptures. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, our text tonight clearly is made up of 2 distinct sections. The first section is verses 38 through 40, in which Jesus warns against self-righteous, proud, hypocritical, religious living. And the second section clearly is verses 41 through 44, in which we learn about the giving of the poor widow, who gave her 2 mites to the treasury of the Lord. Each of these 2 sections could obviously stand on their own, and we could develop more fully each of them by themselves, develop more fully the warning against self-righteous pride and hypocritical religious life, and develop more fully the commendation of Jesus in this widow's sacrificial giving. However, I'd like to treat the 2 sections together tonight. And by treating them together, it allows us to drive home a couple of things, drive home the contrast. Obviously, you have a sharp contrast as Mark records for us what is true of these scribes and then what is true of this poor widow. And by considering the contrast in one sermon, it will help us see what is so important for us to see in our Christian life, and that is that it is the heart that matters. It is from the heart that we live our life, all of our religious life, and especially, as we'll see with the widow, the giving that we engage in as members of the body of Christ. And so there's advantages to looking at them together, and it allows us to draw out of it certain lessons and put them on the foreground this morning. So let's do that tonight. Let's look at these verses together, and we'll do so under the theme, Hypocritical Scribes and a Faithful Widow. And we'll notice in the first place the contrasting actions and hearts. In the second place, the specific lessons. And then thirdly, the certain ends. So let's begin tonight by looking at the contrast between the scribes and this widow. And we'll start with the contrast in their actions, what they did. This is the scribes to begin with. We read in verse 38, "And Jesus said unto them in his doctrine." That's interesting of itself. This was part of the teaching of Jesus. Doctrine means teaching. Jesus' teaching was always theological in nature, and Jesus' teaching also was practical in nature. He's teaching here about godliness and piety, true godliness and true piety. And part of the way in which Jesus teaches this to the people is by setting that against the backdrop of the hypocritical life of the scribes. So this is part of the teaching, the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to them, "Beware of the scribes." That's the main word. Beware of the scribes. Beware means see, look at, examine carefully, observe what these scribes are doing. And with Jesus' help, see what stands behind what these scribes are doing. And understand that one who goes on like these scribes with what stands behind what they are doing have, and this is the great warning of the text, a greater condemnation as their end. So what were they doing? What were their actions? And let's run through briefly the five things that Mark calls attention to through the teaching of Jesus here. Number one, this is what they were doing. They loved to go in long clothing. So Jesus calls attention to their dress. And they were wearing these long flowing robes, walking around like they were priests or kings. Dress says something. And the dress of these men said, "Look at us. We are important." Number two, we read that they love salutations in the marketplace. Salutations refers to greetings. And the idea here is not that they just love to go to the marketplace so that there at the marketplace they could interact with the people, say hi to the people, and have the people greet them. That's not what is being described here. What is being described here is the love that they had for the people to refer to them in a certain way. The greetings that they wanted were these important greetings that acknowledged their importance and their position. And notice that it was greetings in the marketplace. This is the greetings that would be heard by people, observed by people, so that they would walk through the marketplace in a public sphere and people would call them certain things, and in the eyes of men they would be elevated in their important position that they had. The third thing is that they love the chief seats in the synagogues, and we'll combine it with what comes right after that, and the uppermost rooms at feasts. The chief seats in the uppermost rooms literally refers to the places of honor. The scribes would always sit in a certain place. When they were in the synagogues, they were in the most important seats. The seats that may have been elevated above the other seats in the synagogue. The seats that would have been closest to the front where the minister who read the scroll and who preached to the people would stand. We're familiar, of course, with the best seats in the house. The best seats at a game. The best seats at an event. The seats that, when certain people sit in them, says something sometimes about the people that are in them. Well, they took that into the religious sphere, and they always wanted to be sitting in those places of honor in the synagogue and at the feasts. Number four, we read that these were their actions. They devoured widows' houses. When we come to this one, we have to acknowledge that it's very difficult to understand exactly what this is referring to. Devour is a very strong word. They devoured, they consumed widows' houses. And there's debate as to actually what this refers to, but it's very clear what the main point is. In some way, these scribes were guilty of taking complete advantage of widows. The vulnerable widows in Jerusalem, these scribes in some way took advantage of them to their hurt, the widow's hurt, and to their gain, the scribes' gain. It may have been something like coercing them, manipulating them into giving. Giving what they didn't have to give. Giving it to the wrong thing instead of to the treasury of the Lord. Maybe to them as the important scribes in Jerusalem. But the main point, however it was done specifically, the main point is that these scribes were guilty of taking full advantage of, to the hurt of, widows. And then number five, we read in the passage that this was their action, and for pretense made long prayers. Very simple, for show. They prayed a certain way. And this calls attention to the length of the prayers. They went on and on and on for no other reason than to appear a certain way before men. These are the actions of these scribes of the text. Contrasted with the scribes are the actions of the poor widow. So now we go to verses 41 and following. And the way that this begins is with these words, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much," and then what comes after that regarding the poor widow. But take note of what says at the beginning there. Jesus sat against the treasury and beheld how the people gave and who gave. It's interesting because what he does with the scribes is he says to the people, he says, "Behold them, beware of them." And that idea of the word beware is watch them, see them. Because obviously Jesus was beware of and watching and beholding those scribes. And then he comes here and the text says that he was sitting and he was watching the treasury. The treasury was a certain location at the temple. And biblical scholars tell us that there were in that treasury of the Lord 13 chests. And those 13 chests would be designated for specific offerings. It would be like putting in the narthex 13 boxes and then labeling on those boxes all of the different things that we give to the general fund, and the Benevolent Fund, and like tonight, Adams Christian School, and the Reformed Witness Hour, and you have all of those different boxes for all of those different offerings. Now, the way that those boxes were constructed was that on the top of them, there was an inverted trumpet. And so a trumpet shape inverted so that the flared end was at the top, and you would put your money in that top flared in, and it would go down through the trumpet into the holding place for the money. And we read in the text that Jesus is near the treasury of the Lord. He's sitting off somewhere to the side, maybe, and he's watching. He's observing what is going on here. He sees who is coming. He sees how much they give. And he understands, as Jesus does, the hearts of those who are doing this. There's a point of application here as we think about Jesus' words, "Beware of the scribes," and as we think about the widow, he sat and saw and beheld the treasury. He always sees. And that's the point of application. Don't ever forget that. That in all of our life, specifically in our giving life, the Lord Jesus sees. He knows. He knows what we're doing, and he knows why we're doing it. Well, what is it that he observes? We read in the passage that he observes, in the first place, the end of verse 41, "Many that were rich cast in much." So some of the people were wealthy, and they came to the treasury of the Lord and they put in a lot of money into a lot of different boxes. It could be the case that these rich are a reference to the scribes that we read of earlier in Mark 12. But it could not be as well. And he's just simply calling attention to the fact that there were many who had an abundance. And out of that abundance, they gave to many of these causes. Remember that when Jesus is here, it's at the time of the Passover. So Jerusalem is filled with people. And people have traveled from all over into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And so if you come from outside of Jerusalem, only a few times a year for the feast, these are the times that you give your offerings to the Lord. So some may have come with their big bags of money and their loud coins, and they're taking their big bags and their loud coins and they're placing it into this. And remember, it's a trumpet, so you can see it and you can hear it. And then they go to the next one and the next one, and people have a sense. These men have a lot and they're giving a lot. And Jesus calls attention to that. But then he goes on and he emphasizes what this widow does. So we see the actions of this poor widow. In comes a poor widow. And she doesn't have a bag. She doesn't have bags multiple filled with bunches of coins. She has two mites. The passage says two mites which make a farthing. And she takes those two mites, mites literally referring to that which is thin or small. She takes these two mites that she has. She goes to one of those boxes and she puts into that treasury of the Lord, not just one, not just half of what she has, but she puts in both of her coins. How much this was? Practically nothing. It's always difficult to figure out the currency and how it translates into today's currency, but the point very simply is it was practically nothing. A couple of cents thrown into the treasury of the Lord. And those are the actions of the widow. Very unassuming. Nobody would have even noticed her. Certainly wouldn't have heard buckets of money being poured into these metal trumpets, into these chests. Just a couple of mites thrown in, and likely a silent exit out of the treasury of the Lord. These two actions, the actions of the scribes on the one hand and the actions of the widow, are actions that arise out of a certain heart. And so that's what we want to see the contrast in tonight as well. Not just to see, putting them side by side, how different what they do is, but to see how different their heart is. And a couple of introductory points before we get into the specifics of the scribe and then the Pharisees. Number one, we need to always remember this main point, that everything we do or don't do is a reflection of the heart. That's what drives it. Always. It's a heart issue fundamentally. And number two, it's good to even broaden out the context even further and see this word at the end of the chapter in light of what we started reading tonight. Where we started was in the middle of the chapter with Jesus giving the summary of the law. Because that summary of the law calls our attention to love for God and love for the neighbor. And that's the heart issue. That's the contrasting heart issue that is reflected in the scribes and this poor widow. And that's the heart issue out of which flows all of the actions that we perform in this life. This is what we see the contrast, especially in. Their hearts were radically different. And so we begin with the scribes. And clearly the scribes are men of unbelief. They did not believe in God as they were called to believe in God. And out of a heart of unbelief, there was not a love for God and a love for the neighbor, which is the summary of the law of God. Instead, out of that unbelief, there was a sinful, proud self-love and self-service. So that all of those actions were reflective of a heart that did not love God and love the neighbor, but in pride loved themselves and their own exaltation in the eyes of men. We can call to attention to a few things from what we read about in the scribes' description that highlight this point. Number one, as it's translated in our verse, is that word love. Beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplace and by implication love the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts. This was the issue. This was the conviction of their heart. This is what they wanted. And this is why they wanted it. Because to wear these clothing, to have these seats, it's what brought them the attention and the honor and the praise that they sinfully in their pride desired. The issue was not per se the long clothing that they wore. The issue was not exactly the fact that they were greeted in a certain way. The issue was not even the particular seats that they would sit in when they went to the synagogue or when they went to the feast. That, at the core, was not the problem. The core problem was this. Their heart was corrupt. Their heart was proud. They loved these things because they loved the attention and the honor and the praise of men that they got from these things. That's the issue. It's not just the action, but it's the heart that drove the action. Number two, we can call attention to verse 40, which says that they devour widows' houses. This is a good example of where their heart was. Because what you have there is an example of the absolute antithesis of a heart that loves God. A heart that loves God is reflected in a heart that will demonstrate itself in a love for the neighbor. The antithesis of that is hatred for God, which is manifested in a hatred for the neighbor. And that's what you have on display in this particular description of what they did. They devoured widows' houses. There is hardly a more egregious form of hatred than that. To take what is one of the most vulnerable segments in the Jewish population, widows, in Jesus' day, one of the most vulnerable segments of the Jewish population, and take advantage of them. Hurt them. What's going on there? It's not just what they did, but it's reflective of the fact that they didn't love God and they didn't love their neighbor, but in fact they hated God and they showed it by their hatred of their neighbor. And what an egregious form of hating the neighbor, destroying the vulnerable and the oppressed, the widows in Jesus' day, and doing that to feed their own selfish and sinful lust and pride. And then number three, as we think about them, is that note about the prayer and that word pretense. Pretense. Pretense literally refers to a shining forth. And that was the idea. It's as simple as that, which was reflective of what was in their heart. Their heart said this, spotlight, shine on me. Shine on me so that people see me. And this is how they're going to see me. I'm going to pray a certain way. I'm going to pray a long, long time so that all those people hear those prayers and look at me and think about me. Pretense, show. Well, that pretense and show was very simply what was reflective of their heart. Their heart, which sinfully in pride loved themselves. That was the issue. Contrasting actions because of a contrasted heart. That contrast with the contrast of the poor widow. Her heart was radically different. Her heart was radically different because by the grace of God, she believed in God. She had faith in God. And out of that faith in God, she loved God. And she demonstrated that love for God in what she did. We don't read of that specifically. Only thing that we read of is the action that she did. But we can very clearly deduce from that what the heart of this woman was all about. And we can deduce that from the passage because of what she was doing. Think about what she was doing here. It's not just taking a couple coins and throwing them into a couple boxes. But what she is doing here is she's worshiping God. She's worshiping. She is going to the temple, the house of worship, and she is demonstrating her love for God by the giving of her two mites to the treasury of the Lord. And she was doing that because she had a heart that loved God out of her faith in God that God had worked in her. And the nature of what she does in that giving is reflective always of that heart that loves God and loves the neighbor. It was sacrificial. It was sacrificial in nature. And anything that is sacrificial in nature is the demonstration of a true love for God and a true love for neighbor. Contrast that with the scribes. Nothing they did was self-effacing. Nothing they did was self-denying. It was all self-exalting because their heart loved themselves sinfully. But this widow, she loved God. And in that love for God, she was willing to sacrifice. And this was her sacrifice. She gave, and she gave everything that she had. Everything. The two mites that belonged to her were the two mites that she gave to the treasury of the Lord. Why? Because in believing in God, out of that faith, she loved God. And she loved God by devoting herself to God in worship and doing so sacrificially. Such is the contrast between the scribes and this poor widow. Let's learn now a few specific lessons from these two examples. Number one, we're going to keep going along this theme that we ended the first point on. Number one, very simply, beloved, we're going to reiterate this. It's the heart that matters. It's always the heart that matters. When it comes to our life as Christians, yes, what we do needs to be according to the standard of God's law. So the action, of course, does matter. Of course it does. The action itself, the word, the deed, needs to be in conformity to the perfect standard of the law of God. That does matter. But what we're emphasizing right now is that it's the heart especially that matters as you do and say that which outwardly appears according to the standard of God's holy law. And I want to develop that briefly in two directions. Number one, as an encouragement, and number two, as a warning. Number one is the encouragement. The encouragement arises out of knowing that what matters is the heart. What matters is that you, out of your faith in God, love Him and love your neighbor. And out of that love, say what you say and do what you do. Why is that an encouragement? It's an encouragement because it's not the outward thing that pleases God the most. As though if you give more, that's the indication that God is going to be more pleased with the offering that is given, in contrast to someone who can only give less. This is the encouragement, particularly as we think about our giving right now, that what matters is the heart. What matters is that you are giving this in your love for God and in your love for the church and in your love for the neighbor. And it may be the case that you're only able to give a little bit in contrast to the much that others are able to give. But then you remember, it's not that outward amount that God says, because it's more, I'm more pleased with it. And because it's less, I'm not going to think as highly of it. No, because what matters is the heart. What matters is that I am giving this. I'm giving this in my devotion to God and in my love for the neighbor, because I know who He is to me as my God and Father for Jesus' sake. And so let that be an encouragement, not just in the realm of giving, but really in the realm of our entire Christian life. It's not the outward big thing that only gains, that's only important. That's not the way we think about our Christian life. It's the little things. It's the little things that we do on an everyday basis. The little things that we do out of a heart that's devoted to God, so that we think about our Christian life not as, oh, I need to do this or I need to do that. I need to do things that will leave great impressions upon the Church of Jesus Christ or in the lives of people, because only then is it going to be well-pleasing to God. No, love God. Love God from your heart and in your service to God. And if that service is a couple of mites, or if that service is an encouraging word, because that's what God gives you opportunity to do, or if your service is something else, know that what matters most is the heart of devotion that serves God and serves the neighbor. So on the one hand, there is an encouragement. And let that be an encouragement as we think about our giving and our Christian walk. And on the other hand, there's a warning. There's a huge warning that comes to us from this text. Beware of the scribes, Jesus says. And the warning, of course, is that the heart is what matters. The warning is the outward action. It may be in conformity outwardly to the law of God. It may be a giving into the collection plate and the other causes. It may appear a certain way in the eyes of men. But if it's just that, as Jesus says, they will receive the greater condemnation. If it's just that, and it doesn't arise out of a love for God, as that love is what drives all that you do and your love for your neighbor, it's despicable to God and worthy of condemnation and damnation. And that's the warning. The warning, of course, is against hypocritical, proud, self-serving, public acts of worship. May God keep us from that as He warns us with the examples of the scribes. So that's lesson number one. Lesson number one is it's the heart that matters. Be encouraged by that, but also be warned. Lesson number two, let's consider the specific lessons that come out of the giving of this poor widow. So let's dive into that and learn ultimately the lesson that the manner of our giving must be willing and sacrificial. As we think about giving, because clearly Jesus is teaching us something about giving in the example of this poor widow. As we think about giving, we're only going to have it right in our mind and in our life when we have these two things straight. Number one, everything belongs to God. It's the Lord's. And we always have to remember that as we think about what we are giving and why we are giving. That what we have and what we are giving in the end is not ours, but it all belongs to the Lord. He has given it to us, and we give it back to Him, specifically in the causes of His kingdom, for the furtherance of His word and gospel. This distinction may be helpful as we think about it being the Lord's, but at the same time, in a certain sense, we say that it is ours. When we think about our things in terms of each other, horizontally, rightly we say, this is mine. This is my money. These are my possessions. These are my things. These are mine and they are not yours. Yours are yours and mine are mine. So as we think about these things in terms of other people, horizontally, we rightly say, it's mine. But as we think about it vertically, we all say, in the end, this is the Lord's. What I have is the Lord's, and I am but a steward of what God has given me. So always, number one, as we think about giving, it's all the Lord's, and we give it back to the Lord in the causes of His kingdom. We don't have it in Mark's text, but the parallel passage refers to the treasury as the Lord's treasury. We're taking what is the Lord's, and we're giving it back to the Lord in the service of His kingdom. And number two, we will only get our giving correct when we remember that God has given everything for us. He has given everything for us in His Son, Jesus Christ. That God is a giving God. And the outstanding demonstration of the giving of our God was not the giving of something first and foremost, but it was the giving of someone. His only begotten Son who became a man. And then He, as that Savior, gave not something, but He gave Himself. And He gave Himself to the death of the cross so that we might have everything. When you go to the New Testament scriptures, there are certain passages that are very instructive about giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is one of those passages. And at the end of that passage, the last verse of that chapter, we read these words, "Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift." So in all of the instruction about giving that Paul gives in that chapter, he ends it with these words, "Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift." That unspeakable gift is Jesus Christ. It's the unspeakable gift because indescribable are the riches of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have in Him. And when we know that gift, that unspeakable gift of Christ, then that governs the way that we think about our giving and the way in which we actually give. The principles that arise out of the example of the widow, understanding those two points, are at least these three. These three that help us understand and cause us to be very reflective on our giving for the causes of God's kingdom. Number one, the passage makes very clear that all are to give in devotion to the Lord. Look at who is giving here. Yes, you have those who have an abundance. They give. Out of that abundance, they serve the Lord at the temple. But then on the other hand, you have this poor widow, and all she has are two mites. If there is anyone that you would have said, she's exempt from coming and worshiping God in this way. She can worship God through prayer. She can worship God through song. She can worship God by hearing His Word. But when it comes to this activity of giving for the causes of God's kingdom, she, of all people, is exempt from that. No, she's there. She's there, and she's giving. And why is she giving? She's giving because of what we've said already in the sermon. She's giving because God has worked in her heart faith in God. And she's giving because she knows the love of God by that faith. And she's giving because she wants to show her devotion to God. And all believers want to show their love and devotion and worship to God. And this is one way in which it is done. So that the example of the poor widow shows us we all do this. And so let that be reflected in our lives as Christians. We think about our young children here, and we begin very young with them. And that's why it's probably a practice for most here, so that when the collection plate is passed, they are the ones that put money also into that collection plate. There's something being taught there. You as children give. And when you as adolescents and teenagers begin to get a job, you begin to make a little bit of money, your parents teach you very early on, we're going to take some of that money and you're going to give it to the causes of God's kingdom. And that's important for you to do. Why is it important for you to do that? It's because you want to show your love for God. Because He has given everything to you. It's reflected in the way that the deacons do their work. Those who the deacons help in their needs do not say to them, now you don't give to the collections. You don't give to the general fund because you're receiving help. You're exempt from that. No, they don't say that. They prioritize that. This is what you're going to do. You're going to give in the support of the gospel ministry in your love and devotion for God. For the elderly, when the funds may be diminishing, still we want to give. Why do you want to still give? Because I want to show my love and devotion for God. One of the principles that arises out of the passage is that we all give in our devotion to God and to the kingdom of God. Number two, the passage makes very clear that the nature of our giving must be willing and sacrificial. This carries the day when you think about the widow's giving. This was sacrificial. And obviously, as it's sacrificial, she's willingly doing this because nobody is forcing her to do it. She doesn't have somebody marching her to the treasury of the Lord and saying, You widow, you better take those two mites that you have and throw them into that chest. No, she's coming of her own accord, and she's coming knowing she's nobody. She's not doing this to be seen of anybody. She willingly goes. And of course, in that willing giving, it's a sacrificial giving. This is the great contrast that Jesus draws between the rich who give out of their abundance. Yes, they gave and they had to. And it was much, and it was out of their abundance. And her, which was out of her living. It was everything she had. So that the nature of her giving was incredibly sacrificial. And so that's the principle. That when it comes to our giving, we must be willing to be sacrificial. And it always hurts to be sacrificial. Sacrificial means that you may have to say no to something. No, this is not what we're going to do because we're going to give in a certain way. It requires saying at times, maybe, if I dig into that savings account, I what's going to happen if something comes up? And to sacrifice maybe what you think is your peace of mind because of what you have. And we'll talk about that more in a moment. And so we all examine our own hearts here. We remember that's the issue. This all goes together. What matters is the heart. And so we're not just thinking about the action, the actual putting of the money in the collection plate. We're thinking about the heart first. And then we also think about this. Am I willing and am I sacrificial in the giving of the support of the causes of God's kingdom? And that starts very young too. That starts very young with our children. Because in that mind of a child, in an adolescent, and a teenager, this is what I have. I earned this. I earned this. And yes, I want to go out on my date with my girlfriend, and I want to go do this, and I have a car, and I want this car, and I want to do this for my entertainment. And very early on, no. Which of those are you not going to do? What of those are you not going to have? Because it's going to go here. And so as we're developing the hearts of our children and youth, it's not just do it, but it's why are you doing it? Out of my love for God. And it's how am I doing it? I'm doing it in a willing sacrifice. Because that's what it means for me to serve my God. This is very much the truth that we have developed earlier in our series on Mark, that true discipleship is self-denial. And so we're taking the idea of self-denial and we're applying it to our life of giving for the causes of God's kingdom. The third thing that we learn from the widow's giving that she gave in faith, trusting the Lord. This comes through very clearly out of the fact that she gave everything. Now she gave out of her faith. She gave out of her faith, out of her love for God. She served God in this way. But she also gave in faith in this sense. This is what I mean by that. She gave trusting that God would care for her. It had to be that way because it's all she had. She had two mites, and the whole of what she had, she threw into the treasury of the Lord, which means that she needed to wake up the next day and she had to pray the Lord's Prayer, "Give me this day my daily bread," trusting that God would provide for her need. And that's instructive in the way in which we give, because part of our giving is giving sacrificially. And when we give sacrificially, it requires at times the trust God will provide. At times, our unwillingness to give sacrificially may be reflective of a covetous heart. That could be the case. But it could also be reflective of a heart that doesn't trust God, that He will provide for our needs. And that's a clear teaching from this text. She trusted that God would give her what she needed. And so when we give, don't give in anxiety. Give willingly, give graciously, give abundantly, but don't give in fear, wondering, but give in trust, knowing that God as your Heavenly Father will care for you in your needs. Lesson number one, it's the heart that matters. Lesson number two, willing sacrificial giving. Lesson number three that arises out of this text is let us be faithful. Beloved, let us be faithful in the caring for those who are in great need. Let us be faithful in the caring for widows in their need. Let us be faithful in caring for all those who are oppressed and those who are vulnerable and those who are hurt. Now, where does this come from the text? It comes from the text in this way, and this is why it's good to treat these two sections together. We notice in the description of the scribes that part of what the scribes did was that they devoured widows' houses. They took advantage of, as we explained earlier, the vulnerable widows. And then we have this example of the poor widow. And we see in this poor widow that she had two mites. That's all she had. That word for poor in the text is the strongest word to describe abject poverty. This woman had nothing. And she gives it all to the treasury of the Lord. What's going on here is a serious indictment against the Jewish people, and particularly against the leaders of the Jews, because this was a top-down issue, as evidenced by what we read in the passage, that they devoured widows' houses. What's on display here is an absolute neglect for the law of God, and particularly the law of love. It should not have been the case. This is the point. It should not have been the case that the poor widow was destitute as she was. Because God in His law in the Old Testament made very clear in multiple ways, care for the oppressed, the orphan, and the widow. And He provided many different ways in which they would be cared for. So that what's going on here is an indictment upon the state of Israel at this time, and the state of Judah rather, and how they were ripe for judgment as the Lord Jesus comes and in His judgment speaks the word of condemnation against these Jewish leaders. And so that's what's going on there. And the word to us then is, God keep us from this, and God make us faithful in the care of those who have needs. As I said, it should have never been the case that this woman was so destitute as she was. May it never be the case that there are needs that we know of that are not being met. But beloved, make sure that we think about this a bit more deeply. More deeply than just financially. Because we all recognize here, we all acknowledge here that we have more than we need financially. That every one of our financial needs, our basic necessity needs, are going to be met. God has placed us here. This is the state of our lives. This is the condition of our lives. We have wealth. We have enough. We have more than enough. So we all have a confidence, I think, and a good confidence that the basic needs of all of us are going to be met. So that's why we need to think more deeply. And also recognize that in that there's the danger that we say we check the box of the financial needs and we check the box of the basic necessities of life and realize that this whole idea is much broader. And that's the deeper point. The deeper point is that we truly care for each other. We truly care for the widow. We truly care for the vulnerable. We truly care for the oppressed. We truly care for those who are in need. Yes, by making sure that the necessities of life are met. But as God gives us opportunity by showing the love of Christ and the care holistically for those who have those needs. And so what the text is going to guard us against is just walking around and saying, okay, they have enough food, they have enough money. We're good. Let's go deeper. And as God gives us opportunity in our relationships and shows us these needs, and we pray, God, show us these needs, may we live out of the law of love in our love for God, knowing His love for us, and seeing to it that we truly care for each other, especially the vulnerable, in the needs that they have as they press on in their earthly life. Lesson number one, the heart that matters. Lesson number two, give willingly and sacrificially. And lesson number three, truly care for those who have need. the end of the scribes and the end of the widow obviously are very different. Jesus says with regard to the scribes, this sharp word, these shall receive greater damnation. What a warning. This is their end, greater damnation. Not just damnation, but greater damnation. Greater damnation as those who were in positions of leadership, who influenced others by their actions and words, as those who, in their position of authority, destroyed the vulnerable by taking advantage of them. God says, through His Word tonight, those who go on in their hypocritical self-love, those who go on in their pride and in their hatred of the neighbor, those who go on in their sin, this is their end, greater condemnation. And so the word to any who may be walking impenitently in these very sins is repent of those sins, turn to Jesus Christ, lest this greater condemnation fall upon you. The end of the widow, of course, was the exact opposite. The end of the widow was amazing blessing. She was blessed by God because in the end, in this widow's life, there were the greatest of riches. She was wealthy beyond compare. She had everything she needed. The unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ were abounding upon her so that she would say, I don't have anything of this world. I don't need anything of this world, but I am the richest human being that walks planet Earth. And I am the richest human being because God loves me and has bestowed upon me the riches of salvation in Jesus Christ. And that's the end for all of God's people. And that's the end for us. As those who know God's love for us, the end for us is to know that we receive an inheritance, the nature of which is that it's wealthy beyond compare. That we receive the inheritance of life with God. We receive the inheritance because of Christ's work of everlasting life removed from the burden and guilt and consequences of sin. We receive as an inheritance peace and joy and happiness that will abound forever. And so we think about these ends and thank God that by His grace, we with all of God's people have that as our end, knowing the unsearchable riches in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. Bless it as it was preached to us tonight and use it for our good and instruction. And may all of our hearts be touched by it, touched in a humble sorrow and repentance of sin, because we know that that hypocritical self-righteousness is still in us. And we're sorry for that when that comes through in the way in which we worship and in the way in which we give. We're sorry for that. But also we pray more and more, make our hearts abound in love for Thee. And may abounding in love for Thee, it show itself in a love for our neighbor. And may that show itself in the way in which we sacrificially and willingly give for the good of Thy kingdom and one another. Hear us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.